This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, in the debate over sanctuary cities, a lot of the argument has centered on the question of crime. Do sanctuary cities encourage locals to cooperate with the police, thereby lowering crime rates, or do they simply halt the deportation of dangerous illegal aliens? That has been the argument. Well, some light has been shed on it by a couple of recent studies. One from the University of California at Riverside found no statistically significant gap in crime rates between sanctuary cities and law-abiding cities. In the city of Phoenix, meanwhile, the study found that crime fell substantially after Phoenix repealed its sanctuary city policies 9 years ago. Enrique Morones is the founder of Border Angels. It advocates on behalf of illegal aliens, and he joins us tonight. Why is it that on the subject of illegal immigration, liberals want police to make the rules? I don't think you'd want cops to make the rules on stop and frisk or racial profiling, but when it comes to this, you're like, oh, the cops want it. In our country, the police don't get to make the laws. Lawmakers make the laws. And so the question is,
that's right.
Will the police carry out their duty to enforce the laws or not? And you're saying they don't want to. That tells me nothing. Should they or not? That's the
question. I'm not saying that they should make the policies. The policies, as you stated, are made in Washington. And that's why the overwhelming majority of the country did not vote for Trump, does not support Trump. No, he's unqualified. And look at the mess that he's making across the country. So what I'm saying is we should have humane policies. If you want to talk about law enforcement, talk to law enforcement across the country. Get their feedback. See what they think. They're opposed to a lot of these policies.
Okay. They may be, and who knows why they are. Maybe political pressure. They don't want to do extra work. But it's not actually relevant to the question, either in general or in this specific case. I'm confronting you with social science that shows that sanctuary city policies do not make cities safer. And I just want you to acknowledge that science is real and that you were wrong.
I acknowledge that science is real, and that's why one study versus 10 studies, I'm with the 10 studies that say that just the opposite. Just the opposite.
No,
you're using one study.
I'm
using studies from the Cato Institute, from the Pew Institute.
The Cato Institute came out in the New York Times January this year.
You weren't a fellow there.
Well, the debate goes on and on. You know, sometimes you get so ideologically fixed that you just don't want to even deal with the empirical evidence. And you can get studies to say whatever it is that your own perspective holds to. You know, Scott, if you read something and you already have a preconditioned mindset, you're going to miss it. I mean, and this is what happens sometimes with these studies. It's how it's interpreted. And, you know, but when you have something like Phoenix that shows empirically that when they got rid of the sanctuary city status and the accommodation, go figure, you know. And it would only seem to say that if you've got illegal people coming and they're not under the rule of law because they have their own law, they've got to operate under the radar, so to speak, right?
Well, yeah, I think that if you're a law-abiding citizen, you want to be a law-abiding citizen, mm-hmm. you go through the law-abiding way of gaining citizenship.
Yeah.
I also love that he throws out, the less straw man. You know, Trump.
I don't blame it on Trump.
It's not even something that he's doing. If I put him out,
he's messing up everything. How does he figure he's messing up everything? I mean, those general statements, make the argument so weak as opposed to really coming up with something. But he talks about being humane. Well, I say, well, what about those women that are put in deleterious situations that are being used as sex slaves? And they're easy pickings because the people that take advantage of them know that they're here illegally, and they're not going to call the police.
Well, they also fight the
illegal. Is that
humane? They also fight the illegal immigrant tag. Well, if you don't immigrate legally, then what are you?
Exactly.
You're an illegal immigrant.
Everybody's trying to redefine the obvious. There it is. That's why we live in an upside-down world right now, ladies and gentlemen. Words do matter. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there, along with your opportunity to download any podcast, any of the interviews, our gift to you. We have stellar guests on the show. As you know, we work extra hard to get you people who understand the stories and have done the research, that have the facts. We get the information, decide for yourself if this makes sense to you. This is what this is all about, is that we every day, you know, have 3 hours to expand on these issues. It's not about an 8-second soundbite. We want to get into this information so that you can make a an educated decision and choice, because that's what we have to do. The challenge that we have in this country today is to raise not only the consciousness, raise the educational level, the awareness of what is happening in our government. Forget whether or not you want to blame, you know, schools not teaching civics or something that happens, but it's even like our conversation yesterday. It really puts some pressure on families, you know. What are we talking about at home? Is there any kind of discussion of the American way of life, the dream, or are we just counting and you know, leaving that up for liberal professors that we send our kids off, and then they come back for their first Thanksgiving dinner? I hear this story time and again where families go, oh, my goodness, Mary came home and we had to deprogram her. We just didn't, you know, we almost got in a food fight over Thanksgiving. You know, she became so liberal, and it's like, what, you know, it was like, wait a minute, what alien took over our child's mind and body, so to speak? But that is the nature. It's all part of the process, and we've all gone through it. Families have gone through it. And, you know, and it's, this is all part of defining preference. And, you know, when you send kids off to be in a theoretical process, hopefully, you, empower them to ask questions, to, you know, look deeper into this. I think one of the best suggestions, that I ever received was that, was to encourage, because I wish I'd have done this. I mean, this later on in life, but as far as our kids going to school, you know, one of my teachers has said, look, at I would not send my child to school without reminding them that every day you read a book of Psalms, you read a, you know, chapter from Psalms, and you read you know, Proverbs for that day. And you know, it was very powerful. I thought about it later. I said, wow, what rich wisdom that every day, especially in that kind of environment, that you counter the propaganda, you counter the information with God's wisdom. And what better way to do it? And what he suggested was that you would take, like, for example, today is the 20th, right? Is it 20? Yeah, 20th. The 20th day of the month. Well, then you would read the 20th Psalm, go 30 days forward, read the 50th, 30 days forward, the 80th, 30 days forward, the 110, 30 days forward, 140. You'd read that as part of your daily devotion, as part of, or in some time of reading during the day. But I always encourage people to do that first thing in the morning. First things first. You know, get your mind focused on the eternal and not the temporal, not the things that are under the sun, the things that are over the sun, the things that are over us, over the sun, which involve God and He who says that knows the beginning from the end, that has a specific purpose for our lives, that we're not some kind of, you know, happenstance experiment that God said, well, I think, you know, let me send Bill down there. I think he might be able to, you know, make this happen. No, not at all. You know, God created us, He says, even while we're in our mother's womb, He's putting us together. And even before that, He knows exactly what it is our purpose in life. So why would we not want to engage with the manufacturer of ourselves and say, okay, wait, what did you intend me to do? But if we have no conversation, if we're not knocking to seek and understand what it is that He's planted purpose for us, well, then we kind of go helter-skelter, pal-mal through life and wonder. Waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, why am I here? What am I doing? What is it all about? And we're only talking to the ceiling tile and not going higher to go above the sun. Because as you heard me talk earlier, the book of Ecclesiastes, in fact, we were talking about this last night, which was a good, a great conversation, especially when you're in a room full of people and they all have, you know, different perspectives that they bring to the conversation here. But, you know, and we're listening to a presentation from Dr. Tony Evans, who's been on with us many times. And I love Dr. Evans' perspective on this talked about living under the sun, that being under the sun, we are subject to the temporal. We're subject to the things of this world. And so if we're going to have that under the sun mentality, that's our focus. And that's what we're going to end up. But the challenge of the book of Ecclesiastes is for us to look outside of those things that are under the sun. Look at the things that are above the sun, the eternal consequence, the eternal values that come to us by faith and belief in Jesus Christ. But, you know, it's easy. It's easy to get caught up because we're surrounded by the things of this world. And as you know, St. Paul said, be of the world, you know, don't be of the world. You're in the world, but don't be of it. In other words, don't let it impact you. He understands that, look, you're going to bathe yourself in it, but you want to get it off of you. And the only way to do that is to, you know, be in prayer and to turn to God. And this is why, you know, again, I come back to that recommendation, you know, with the Book of Psalms, okay, 20th. And like you said, you know, then you go 30 days forward, the 50th, the 80th. Psalm, the 110th Psalm, and then 140th Psalm. That's what you would do for today, and you would read the 20th Proverb. Okay, that chapter of Proverbs, very powerful. What a blessing! And I would say to you that if you are faithful in doing that, to whatever level, you will be blessed richly, and particularly for those of you who are going to college that are bathed in this situation, or if you find yourself in a workplace bathed in this situation. I don't know, how do you go to work and take on, you know, these kind of challenges without being in the Word of God? I'd say number one. Number two, certainly, is to do what the Apostle Paul told us to do, and that is to put on the full armor of God. You know, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the peace of gospel, of, you know, peace for the preparation of the gospel of peace, that everywhere you would go, you'd be the ambassador of God's peace. And when you understand, I mean, I love it when you do a deep study of God's peace. It is so significant. And, you know, like Jonathan Kahn explained to me, he says, you know, don't you love it? Because when you go into the Bible and you realize, you know, the Jewish heritage and the culture and everything that's involved in the expression of God's peace and what it means. And as Jonathan explained to me, he says, what that means is God's pursuit of His peace upon you. That's what you want. You want God's perfect peace to find its way and cover you. And that is God's commitment to you, that there'd be no loose ends. Everything is tied down. It is complete and in full operation. And, of course, we know it's going to be a bit limited this side of heaven. But ultimately, on the other side, you imagine all cylinders operating at full 100% capacity. You know, it's really exciting. So not only the shoes, the gospel, the preparation of peace, you got the shield of faith that's going to block out those fiery darts from you, the helmet of salvation that you put on to renew your mind. That's what being in the Word is all about, that you would renew your mind, that your thoughts would be like Jesus' thoughts, huh? Why not? And, of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God itself.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that for me, it took several months of taking One World Whey before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-9775. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-9775. That's 1-800-656-9775. 1-800-656-9775.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Bill Martinez live.
Senator, your wife Jane is currently under investigation for bank fraud for a loan she took out while president of Burlington College in Vermont. Jane has been interviewed, and she said, listen, this is sexist. These are people trying to get at my husband through me. Tell us what is really going on.
All right, well, let me tell you what's going on. I'm glad you asked that question. When my wife became president of this very small college in Burlington, Vermont, it had serious financial problems, serious academic problems. 7 years later, that college was in better shape financially and academically than it had ever been. 5 years after she left the school, 5 years, the vice chairman of the Republican Party in the state of Vermont and Donald Trump's campaign director initiated an investigation against my wife as president. It wasn't the bank that she did business with. It wasn't the entity that she bought the property. It was the vice chair of the Republican Party. My wife is one of the most honest people I know. She worked extraordinarily hard at that college and did a great job. We will see where the process goes.
Yeah, we will. That's all part of the investigation to find out exactly what happened. But, you know, on the surface, it looks very questionable. I mean, if you're going to question Donald Trump and Putin and all that that's going on, why would you not question that, right?
You know, for somebody that says they say do nothing, Donald Trump sure has his hands in a lot of things in these people's lives.
Exactly.
I mean, if he does nothing, but yet he does everything, what's really going on there?
Yeah. Well, and meanwhile, speaking of the Russian probe, Donald Trump fired a little salvo over the bow of the special counsel Mueller's boat, and he says basically he's going to start exposing Mueller's conflicts if the Russia probe expands. You know, so whatever that means. And of course, all this is, you know, coming to a point. The president made it very well noted that he again is just you know, the Jeff Sessions recusal on this whole Russian deal is just gnawing at him. Judge Napolitano was saying, hey, maybe this might be a sign that, the president is trying to force Sessions to resign. I mean, if he recused himself at this point, why doesn't he just push him over, over the edge? But Sessions in this morning's press conference said he's there. He's got a job that he loves doing. He's excited about it. And pretty much, he's serving at the behest of the president. And as long as that's there, then he wants to continue to do the job. But meanwhile, Rand Paul even sided with Trump against Sessions on this for him, stepping away, because this really added a little bit of credence, I think. And this is, I think, was a bit short-sighted on Jeff Sessions' part, you know, being part of the, part of the Senate and, you know, the boys and everything, you know, suggesting some impropriety, and he wanted to be above it. And I can appreciate his movement, but I think he should have, and obviously he didn't have this conversation with the president. Maybe he should have had the conversation, say, hey, what do you think? Do you think I should, I should do this? I mean, I'm serving here at your behest, maybe a bit short-sighted. And I'm sure Trump would have said, hey, absolutely not, because it gives them place. I mean, I can understand the nobility of it, but in the game of politics and the way the media would run with this stuff, they're doing what they're doing now. And every once in a while, you'll hear them throw up the fact that, well, even Jeff Sessions recused himself on this deal to, again, bring some sort of validity to the whole collusion, boogeyman that's going out there. Kind of amazing. Now, speaking of this media malpractice that Gary Bauer had pointed out earlier, now we've got a bias alert where CNN, gave three times more coverage to Trump Putin talk than Obama hot mic gaffe. If you remember, what President Obama had said to then the Prime Minister Medvedev, when he said to him that, or was Medvedev the president or the, what was his position? Yes. The Russian president at the time, of course, Dmitry Medvedev, when he said to him, hey, look, this is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility. And of course, this is all on the heels of, the debate with Romney. After, Romney said, look, the number one geopolitical threat to America is Russia, without a doubt. And you remember Barack Obama kind of teased him, and the media went along with it, and they kind of, you know, laughed about it. But now all of a sudden they have credibility into that Russia has, you know, much more validity, and they're all part of the interference of, you know, our voting process and democracy. But I think there, again, there are so many other issues to look at, as we were talking with Ed Pizzulli earlier, that, you know, if you're going to open up this body, let's open it up all the way. You know, let's not just stop there. Let's look at all these other things that have interfered with the democratic process. Oh, yeah, like Lois Lerner and how she weaponized the IRS to go after these conservative groups. And I got to tell you, I'm shocked. Nobody's talking about this, Scott. I mean, what they did to the Tea Party groups and any conservative group by delaying, and in some cases, as we were talking with Jenny Beth last week, they're still holding up some of the approvals. And you think, you know, well, what's going on here? Trump's there, but no, Trump, unfortunately, is still dealing with Obamaites that are still in the bureaucracy.
You have an even more recent example of them doing that with the Postal Service campaigning for Hillary. Mm-hmm. That's a direct violation of those are government employees. You are not supposed to campaign as a government employee for any of them. It's why the FBI doesn't say who they want to be the president.
It's kind of amazing. It's not enough that the unions are getting money from their membership and they're using it to support political causes. And you've got a portion of the membership, you know, if it's representative of the United States, of the country itself, could be as much as 50% of their body politic who don't support their political interests. But guess what? The union speaks, and they're going to do it. And so, and guess where most of that money goes to? It goes to the Democratic Party.
Well, and then you have somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who again the other day came out and said, well, we need to get money out of politics. Really? I agree. But doesn't that...
But she's also the one who said, we need to drain the swamp, right?
Isn't that her saying that she doesn't want her job anymore? Because that's her job. Her job is she controls the purse strings to the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
It's why she stays where she is.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all comedy, Scott. I mean, you know, they figure if they talk about it somehow, if they put it out there, they're immune or they're exonerated in some form or fashion, right?
It's so dumb that it should be funny. But it's not, and it's because people actually buy into it. They believe it. They believe that she wants to get money out of politics. This is the person that said, well, I used to take phone calls from my father, and wasn't that her?
Right, exactly. She's right there, and she goes, hey, what do you got for me? She's picking up the phone. I mean, she's 7 years old, how precocious is that? So she's learned her lessons well.
So it's so dumb that it should be funny, but at the same time, it's a little bit scary. And it's scary because they have people that actually follow behind what they're doing, and they think it's the right thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe America needs to say enough is enough. And, you know, Donald Trump talks about draining the swamp, but Donald Trump is one man. Powerful, yes, he is. He's got the bully pulpit. But it is we, the people, that need to pull the plug on the swamp
and I think
of the bureaucracy.
I think you're also finding out that the swamp isn't just one side.
Oh, no.
I think the swamp is all
it's
of
the,
it.
It's the quote, unquote.
It's disgusting.
It's the deep state. It is the establishment. You're exactly right. It's that bureaucracy that has caused our government to be inefficient and wasteful, no doubt about it.
Of, for, and by them.
Yeah, exactly. Without a doubt. Well, the elites love it. That's the way they like it. And they don't want any changes. This is why they're kicking at the goads, and they're very upset with one Donald Trump because he's exposing them. But the fact of the matter is they've exposed themselves. It's just the media, you know, cannot stop his tweeting to expose them. A picture right now with heavy hearts across this country for John McCain and his family. And a picture is going viral, and that's of a young John McCain. Shows him next to his fighter jet. A rather handsome young man, to say the least. But it is one that has gone viral. John McCain, and our prayers and thoughts for he and his family continue to go out. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy, they mean something. Bill Martinez, live. Your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, yeah. Why you wanna give me a run around? Yeah, it's your fire. Let's beat things up. When all it does is slow me down.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Our next guest is one we've been looking forward to. We've been talking about for quite a while. Cheryl Atkinson joins us. We're going to be talking about her new book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See and What You Think. Cheryl Atkinson, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for all the hard work you've been doing. I have admired your work over the years, Cheryl, and I am so glad to see, you know, I know it was a rough patch there for a while, and a lot of people took note of the way you were treated, but this is something about what my dad used to always say, that the cream always rises to the top, and you are stellar at what you do. And they just could not hold you down no matter what they tried to do.
Well, that's very kind. I mean, I would say for most of my career, I was very well treated. I just quit CBS ahead of my contract when I saw the last couple of years, the writing on the wall. which is really happening at all news organizations, and it's kind of what the smear is about, the pervasiveness of the industries that are able to, political and corporate and financial, able to shape news in ways I don't think viewers really want it to be shaped.
Well, and it's been at a costly proposition, Cheryl, as you note. What has happened is the media has abandoned ethics for, as you say, clicks. Clicks seems to be the order of the day. CNN, you know, they're chasing down ratings. And look at the damage that they've done to their brand.
Well, let me provide just a slightly alternate view.
Okay.
I have seen things and observed that behavior among the news media that defies ratings chasing. In other words, I think many decisions are made not for that reason, and sometimes at the expense of good ratings, because they are pleasing their ideologues or else their corporate partners or financial interests that you don't know about or political interests. And sometimes good ratings are sort of a side effect, so they can pat themselves on the back and say, this is why we're doing it. But I really don't think in many cases that's the key motivation, at least when it comes to news organizations and what they've been doing.
No, good point. I think you're right there. More so is that the ideology has crept into the editors' rooms and in the control rooms, and that at great injury on, you know, for all concerned. Because what do we expect from our media but to, you know, document history, to inform us, to pursue the truth, to do, you know, the hard work that you've been known to do as an investigative journalist.
Yeah, I think that there still is a huge market out there for people who would like to see news that they don't have to discount because they saw it on one network or read it on one newspaper, and they have to think to themselves, well, they're conservative or they're liberal, what might they be peddling? I still think even people who seek out those sources would like to have a more neutral source they could go to, where they feel like if a Republican or Democrat is criticized or if a corporate interest is examined, it's because that's where the facts led. It's not because the reporter wanted it to be that way or because managers steered them in that direction. It's just how it is. But it's really hard to find or to feel confident that you're seeing much of that these days.
Exactly. Well, it's a divided country we live in today, Cheryl, and maybe that's down the road. You know, maybe it's a kind of a rebirth for journalism, you know, for journalists particularly. I think of their profession, you know, of your profession, how time-honored it has been, and the big hit it's taken here recently because of ideology. That's what I hear. I hear the same thing, just as you stated, from our listeners, that they're looking, you know, for people that they can relate to. Feel like at least they're, you know, the journalist or whoever's reporting on it is pursuing the truth above all, and you know, let the facts fall where they're going to fall, and you know, let the people decide.
And you know, when you do that now, which I learned firsthand, I did many stories that were considered liberal in nature. I mean, I don't consider them political, but people like to label them. Mm-hmm. And then I've done stories that some have considered conservative in nature because they ended up leading to perhaps the Obama White House, for example, where I didn't know that's where they were going to lead ahead of time. Those stories are controversialized, and then I'm made out to be, as they tried to do some interests when I was at CBS, mm-hmm. to be some sort of conservative interest pursuing a conservative agenda because they don't want those stories to be listened to. That's part of the smear narrative, to try to controversialize stories. And then they conveniently ignore the stories and the narratives that don't fit their ideas, like the many stories I did that were called liberal. So they really craft what I call in the book an artificial reality that suits their efforts to steer opinions in one direction and make sure people don't listen to certain reporters or certain ideas or certain politicians, and instead really flood the landscape with the ideas they want put out.
Exactly. Cheryl, how does that make you feel as a professional when you see your peers being segregated like this, and they themselves being smeared and set aside, you know, losing jobs and positions because they don't want to fit the ideological form?
Well, I went to an investigative reporters conference a couple years ago, gave me the idea for this book, where one after the other reporters came up to me and told me how they had been attacked and targeted by special interests, particularly in many cases by Media Matters, the smear group, one of a huge network run by David Brock, mm-hmm. and their billionaire donors in many instances. And the journalists were afraid, not because they thought that the smear artists really had any power, except that the managers listened to them. So they did. In other words, it's their manager's reaction to the propaganda effort that put fear into the hearts of the journalists who were just trying to do their job. And I remember saying, you know, we should be as an industry calling these efforts what they are. Mm-hmm. And calling this industry of smears what it is, because they're shaping the news industry in a very serious and harmful way. But instead, we in the news, I find, are kind of ill-equipped to deal with that. We're just too busy out there covering stories every day. This industry has developed this multi-million dollar, in some case, billion-dollar industry of groups that effort smears and narratives and propaganda has grown up around us. And it's kind of like we're no match for it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think on the upside, Cheryl, and I thought about this relevant to broadcasting, because as long as you've been involved in the media, in print media, and even with television, I've been in broadcasting for over 45 years myself, and I started seeing how this new media that was coming into play, social media and tweeting and all this, that this is the new future. So where, you know, some of these operatives have control of these major institutions, there is a burgeoning institution that is coming about, that's on the horizon, that is making way and affording an opportunity for investigative journalists like yourself to have place, and for other journalists to have place and to be independent. Because even on a show like ours, you know, people will say, Bill, how can you talk about this sort of thing? I say, well, the beauty is that I'm independent. I'm not beholden to some broadcast entity that tells me I can't ask certain questions.
What's interesting about that is there's now a propaganda effort against the company that allowed me to start this program, Sinclair, which is run by a conservative, wealthy conservative family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no one ever seemed to complain when I worked for organizations that were headed by Democrat donors and Democrat interests, wealthy billionaires on the liberal side. That didn't affect my work. Mm-hmm. And the conservative nature of Sinclair doesn't affect my work. That was part of the deal in coming here. But you will start seeing, I believe, a growing effort to target through a propaganda campaign Sinclair, because they threaten the status quo. They're trying to buy Tribune companies, which would vastly expand their reach among local news stations, and people don't want that out there. That competes with the prevailing narratives that are being put out on the media that's already taken hold. So you'll see people complain about Sinclair, but the hypocrisy is they never complained about the much more pervasive landscape of the billionaires on the other side of the political spectrum who already dominate what we see.
Exactly. Well, our conversation with Cheryl Atkinson continues. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We are...
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, I'm free. Free falling.
You don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels. To be me.
Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Our conversation with Cheryl Atkinson continues. Her book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See and What You Think and How You Vote. The investigative journalist is an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, host of the Sunday morning news program Full Measure, and author of the New York Times bestseller Stonewalled, and we're talking about her new book. Cheryl, in The Smear, you address the Dem media collusion. Tell our audience about that.
Well, you know, we have interesting access to what I call transactional journalism, which takes place probably between corporations, Democrats, Republicans, and the media. But we have special look inside Democrats and the mainstream media because WikiLeaks was given documents and certain Freedom of Information Act requests have revealed emails that show this nature of unethical relationships, in my view, between top journalists and organizations and the people that we're supposed to report on and be neutral about. You can see these political operatives for the Clinton campaign literally calling the shots on what reporters must report behind the scenes, what percentage of their story must take on positive themes versus the controversies that are to be addressed, when to be published, what words are to be used. There's a reporter well-known in Washington, Mark Ambender. He was with The Atlantic. Mm-hmm. He's worked for other major publications, left-leaning. And he's trying to get an advance copy of a speech in one of these emails from then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And Clinton's aide says, okay, on three conditions, and literally lays out terms that this journalist must follow to get an advanced copy of the speech. He does all of them. And one of the terms was, you must describe her speech as muscular, which is a strange word to use, not one he would probably think of on his own, but there was a reason they wanted to use. And the reporter, Ambender, in his email says, you got it, you know, no problem, and goes about and writes the story the way the, on the three conditions that were demanded. And I did a search because I was curious. I found two other outlets, quasi-news outlets, also using the word muscular to describe the same Hillary speech. And my instincts tell me nobody thought up that word, that that was being placed, you know, that Ambender wasn't the only journalist who that narrative was dictated to, and they seemed happy to comply. So when you see these themes on the news and in publication online and on social media that just repeat themselves over and over, you can suspect that there's somebody behind it pulling strings.
Yeah, the flags have to go up for that one. Well, wasn't there a report, Cheryl, that Robbie Mook was editing? He bragged about editing some of the journalists' reports as well.
Well, I don't have that example in my book, but I don't doubt it, just because there were many other very similar ones that we did see. There were reporters, one who worked for Associated Press but worked at the L.A. Times at the time, who was reporting on the CIA and running his stories before them in advance, saying, you know, how's this look to you? That's completely against all standards that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. We have a reporter at the time from Politico named Glenn Thrush, who described himself in one of these emails as a hack. He said, because I have become a hack, as he's writing these Clinton campaign people, I'm sending this story to you to see if you want to change anything, or I'm running it by you before publication. And then he gets rewarded by being hired by the New York Times to cover Donald Trump. So the most egregious behavior that wouldn't be allowed in journalism school is in some instances being rewarded as if it's a good thing in today's environment.
But to your point, that's what has formed the whole industry now, is that that kind of behavior that is perceived by the ideologues as being good behavior, that's rewarded. And if you're independent, outside of the box, pursuing the truth and doing, you know, the gumshoe kind of reporting, going out there and asking the hard questions, putting the time in, like you and other investigative journalists, well, then you're on the outside looking in.
That's absolutely right, and they do try to carve you out of the process and make you an outlier and controversialize you so you don't bring that sort of different perspective to the landscape. They really want to control the entire thing and silence people. I mean, I think years ago that was my first hint that something was going on unseemly, and it wasn't about politics. It was actually corporate interests that were trying to literally silence stories, not provide their side, not provide their perspective, which I was used to and which is something that should happen, but silence viewpoints and people entirely. And I thought that was a strange trend for me at the time. Now it's commonplace. You're just not allowed to air stories that include certain viewpoints. Even if you're including two or three opposing views, there's certain ones you're not supposed to represent. You're not supposed to hear from. You're supposed to just say it isn't valid. Mm-hmm. And if you don't fall in line, your reporting is questioned.
Yeah, you're not invited to the cocktail parties anymore, and you're on the outside. In your book, you also address the Google Obama fake news gamut. Break that down for our audience.
Gosh, there was so much going on. I'm not sure which part you're talking about, but toward the end of the book, I trace, if this is what you mean, how fake news as a phrase began and how we all started talking about it on a daily basis. And it appeared quite suddenly in September of 2016 from a nonprofit that stated it was necessary to start cracking down on so-called fake news. And it named its partners as the purveyors of what some people think are fake news, you know, CNN and Washington Post. And they were going to be helping ABC. But I looked into that group, and it turns out they were begun at the beginning of the election cycle by a group started in the UK funded by Google. And the parent company of Google, Alphabet, of course, was Hillary Clinton's number two top donor, Eric Schmidt. So it starts to look like a political effort for fake news that then President Obama took up out of the blue and said, oh, we need, in this wild, wild west, we need curators of the news. Well, the public at the time wasn't clamoring for it. Certainly wasn't a grassroots effort. And before you knew it, as if they had their assignment, headlines every day about fake news, fake news, fake news. So it was a progressive initiative that then Donald Trump, master brander that he is, co-opted and took over And now a lot of people think he thought it up. And, in fact, he just grabbed it and sort of stole that narrative from them.
Right. You know, this is the thing that people miss about Donald Trump, is that he is such a great observer of momentum in the marketplace. This is what makes him genius, that he knows how to get in front of this. And it's driving the media, the mainstream media, absolutely nuts, because he's beating them, in a sense, at their own game.
Well, that's why I call him the anti-smear candidate.
Mm-hmm.
A reporter from the Washington Post was asking me questions about the book on C-SPAN. He said, "Do you mean he doesn't smear? What do you mean anti-smear?" I said, "No, I mean he is like, the smear is kryptonite, you know, to him. It doesn't stick to him like it does to other politicians, partly because his response is not the same as politicians would make."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes him extremely unique. I don't think anyone has ever been more smeared, because he faced opponents not just from Democrats. He faced opposition from his own party, Republicans, and, of course, from the media, in a social media internet landscape that has never existed before, as technology has grown, and yet won this election. So
exactly.
I think that makes him, the anti-smear candidate.
And this is on the heels of Barack Obama, you know, revolutionizing it and taking it up to that point for the 08 and the 12 election cycle. But also, when you talk about the anti-smear candidate, then you look at the antithesis there, and you've got Hillary Clinton and David Brock, the mother and father of the modern smear campaign.
Yep. It's interesting to trace where the Clintons, the role that they play over decades in creating and perfecting smear campaigns, in making ways for smear operatives that have continued on for many decades to operate and do their business. Also, as I say in the book, the Clintons were targeted by smears. There was a rich billionaire, Richard Mellon Scaife, who literally plunked down money, as these smear artists do, or two smear artists, to dig up dirt on President Clinton once he was elected, actually paid for so-called journalism to dig up stories. This is what they do behind the scenes. And one of the people paid to do this was David Brock, who at the time was a conservative smearing liberals, and later confessed to dishonest and unethical behavior and switched sides and became a liberal smearing conservatives on behalf of his liberal donors. So I think that was one of the most fascinating tales in the whole book, that goes sort of a common thread that goes throughout. So
exactly.
The Clintons and the rise of David Brock, and in the end, how all that money he spent and his network of organizations, which is ubiquitous, still couldn't get Hillary Clinton elected.
Yeah, exactly. Without a doubt. Cheryl, one final question here, because I know you have to run and I appreciate the time. What do you want the readers to take away from the smear?
I think that they should question what they see. Just take the word of one smear artist I interviewed for the book. He said, "Nothing you see, every scene put before you in daily life, whether it's a comedian talking on a comedy show, things that you're seeing on social media, or what you see on the news," he says, "it's like a movie. Nothing is there by accident. It was put there for a reason, often by people who've paid a great deal of money to get it before your eyes." And if you think that way and just ask a lot of questions, I think you'll be a smarter consumer.
Well, without a doubt. Cheryl Atkinson, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You take care. Author of the book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How to Vote. Cheryl Atkinson, an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, host of Sunday morning news program Full Measure, and author of the New York Times bestseller Stone.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Hunters and